Good morning. My name's Sean Pallotta, and this is my wife, Melissa.
Hi.
This morning, we wanted to kick it off and really continue on a lot of things Abner said. There are a lot of things he said last night that we'll pick up on in our word today, what the Lord gave us to share. We want to share more about our prayer journey and our journey as a family in ministry and how the Lord's kind of knit us together in ministry as a family and led us on this journey of where, you know, where he's called us to serve. So I want to start with scripture in Ephesians 6:18. This is a translation from a Hebrew Bible that Melissa has. I don't know what translation that is, so it might be different than what you have, but it's really, really powerful the way it reads here. It says, through every prayer and humble request, by praying always in the Spirit and being alert in Him, by means of every perseverance and humble request concerning all the saints. So Paul is urging the church to continue in prayer, and he goes on to talk about how he desires their prayers. So you have this apostle of God who recognizes that the prayers of the church and the prayers of the saints for him is vital. As much as he walked in the power and wisdom of God, he knew he needed prayers from the church there in Ephesus. We want to highlight, I want to highlight a few things here in this verse. The word for prayer in this verse, and some of you Greek scholars can correct me on pronunciation here, but I think the word is prozouk. And it's there's two parts to this word, but it's used over 100 times in the New Testament as a word for prayer. It's one of the most commonly used words in the Greek for prayer in the New Testament. And the first part of this word, pros, means toward, to face toward. It implies closeness, an intimate relationship. Like face-to-face contact. So in John 1:1, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the word with there is the word pros. So it's this very intimate face-to-face encounter. And the word euk is a wish, a desire, a prayer, or a vow. So as if making a vow to God because of some kind of desire or important need that we have. Not that prayer is always about our needs, but many times, sometimes that's what we come to, right? And that's where our prayer life starts sometimes, is when we really, really have a desperate need. And so an example of this in Scripture, 1 Samuel 1:11 is where Hannah's praying. And she makes a vow, right? And she has a desire and a need that's so intense that as she's weeping, the priest thought that, you know, maybe she was drunk or... Yeah. Because her emotions were so intense. And it says in 1 Samuel 1:11, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And we know that her prayer was answered, and she fulfilled her vow and gave her son Samuel to the service of the Lord. So this word, prozouk, that's used for prayer here, if you kind of combine these two different meanings of this two-part word, you could read it like this. It means to come face-to-face with God and surrender your life in exchange for His, to maintain an attitude of consecration as an ongoing part of your life, and be sure to give Him thanks in advance for moving on your behalf. So we heard Abner talk about a few of these concepts last night, that it's an ongoing part of your life, right? It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. We read, if just going back to this scripture, it says through every prayer. Some of the translations say all kinds of prayer, right? So there are different kinds of prayer that we'll talk about in scripture. There's just a few that I'll mention here. The prayer of faith, the prayer of intercession, prayer of consecration and blessing, prayer of agreement as some examples. It says praying always in the Spirit. There's never a time where we're not in a time of prayer. And actually in this scripture, it says, it goes on to say being alert in Him, right? So it's not something we're always doing, that we're always necessarily talking or having a conversation with God, but we're alert and we're aware. And it's as much listening and hearing, you know, His direction as Abner shared last night, you know, just being so silent in your spirit and just tuned into the Lord that you can just hear a still small voice, right? In the busyness of your day and everything you're doing. And you may even be doing something that He directed you to do, but He might need to direct your course. Like when He told Paul and the apostles that they were prevented from going to Bithynia, right? It's like they had to be hearing to say, all right, we're going on this journey. We know where we're headed. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, no, right? And then he sees in a vision this man from Macedonia and has to shift course. So it's being alert, always praying, but that doesn't mean we're always talking and we're always the one driving the conversation. And yes, sometimes it mentions here there's a humble request. So a few examples here. The prayer of faith. James 5:15 says, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. I'll share a testimony a little later how the prayer of faith impacted my life and our life as a family when I needed just a major healing in my life. And that model of prayer was used by two men that really discipled me, and it was life-changing for us and our journey. Prayer of intercession, just another example of in this scripture where it says all kinds of prayer, pray in every in all kinds of prayer. Luke 22:31-32, Jesus is saying to Peter, Satan has asked that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. So this idea of intercession really is to mediate or to be an advocate for someone, right? To stand in the gap. Job even alluded to this in Job 16:19-21. He said, even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend as my eyes pour out tears to God on behalf of a man who pleads with God as one who pleads for a friend. So even Job somehow through revelation of the Spirit understood that he needed an intercessor in heaven to plead on his behalf because he didn't know what was happening, right? But he knew that his intercessor, his mediator, had to be there between him and God. That was a revelation he would have received from God, right? That he had an intercessor, someone mediating for him on his behalf. The next one is prayer of consecration.
Oh, I have the mic. the prayer of consecration is Numbers 6:22-27. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites and say to them. And we were joking around last night that I should do this in Hebrew, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. So, Lavarekka Adonai Vishmarekka Yae Adonai Panave Lecha Vihunecha Yes, Adonai Panave Lecha Ve'yashem Lecha Shalom. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. The fourth one is the prayer of agreement. And this is Matthew 18:19. And this is actually, I don't know, for those of you that don't know, I'm the intercessory prayer director for Abner Suarez for his ministry. Woohoo! And this is our verse that we stand by, and it's, again, Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven.
So that was an example of prayer of agreement.
Oh, you don't need to give me the mic.
Oh, we have a double mic.
Can you hear through this one? You hear me fine. Okay.
I missed that.
One example I wanted to give about the prayer of consecration or the prayer of blessing is this is something that the Lord had us do in our family was when our children came to that age. So similar in Jewish faith or Jewish tradition that you'd have a bar or bar mitzvah at around age 13. So it wasn't exactly at that age for all our kids, but as we came to know about this, the idea of having a rite of passage, having a rite of blessing for our children, consecrating them to the Lord, this has been something that's been tremendously impactful in our family. We saw, even though our children were saved at a very young age and they're in church, there were just things that happened in their life at that time where we chose to gather with other men in the body for our sons, and other women in the body for our daughters to consecrate them to the Lord, there was just a major shift in their life. I mean, we even saw things and patterns that were happening, like with our sons. Maybe they'd always get attacked in terms of accusations, right, at church, people accusing them of things. And all of a sudden, that just stopped at that point when we chose to bless them, you know, with other men in the body, other women in the body of Christ. It was just a tremendous change and shift in their lives. And even they'll testify to it. Our oldest son, Lenora's here. Stand up, Lenora. I didn't get
this
to introduce all our kids.
We have five children, by the way.
Lenora's our second. And so it was, this is just something we learned about through some other ministries. And we're coming to know as we learn more about our heritage, right, and Jewish tradition. And as we travel more to Israel and we're understanding the culture of what we see in Scripture, right, and learning it from that perspective has just been such a tremendous impact in our lives and in our family.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. When she said, she prayed that prayer of consecration, it was in a song. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that impressed me. Do you do a lot of praying in songs, or is this something that, you know, maybe she just mentioned something about that that struck me as important? The fact that you're saying this.
Yeah. They do. They sing a lot of their prayers. Yeah. They do say them too, but a lot of them are sung. And, you know, I feel like, you know, in intercession it is so powerful to sing. That's, I don't know who was here this morning for in prayer, but we were singing, my daughter and I were singing our prayers and going back and forth in just speaking them and declaring them and singing them unto the Lord. It's very powerful. Yeah. John does that too.
Yeah,
I love singing with him.
Yeah, and in the scripture in Ephesians 6 where it says praying always in the Spirit, I mean, sometimes for me, it'll just be singing in the Spirit, right? There's something about it, absolutely.
It's powerful. It's the sounds.
There is something that happens in how we remember things, right? Because how many songs do we all know? How many words to songs do we all know because it was put to music, right? So
even the ones we don't want to have in our head.
There's something about how God has created us and how our mind works that, yes, putting things to song like really is impactful. Absolutely. So just to summarize here what we were reading on this scripture in Ephesians 6 is we're walking in a lifestyle of prayer. I mean, Abner talked about this last night. As in scripture, it says walk in the Spirit, right? So you're walking in the Spirit. In Jude, in verse 20, 21, it says, praying always in the Spirit, keeping yourselves in love. Right? So how do you stay in an attitude of love, right, and not in offense? Right? And so offense doesn't easily attack you. It says they're praying always in the Spirit. Keep yourself in love. It's really, it mentions in the scripture just being alert, right? And I'll talk about that in a second, that we know his voice. Abner talked about that last night, just recognizing the still small voice of the Lord, right? We get to that point in our lives where it's not like, sometimes you hear God really just loudly speaking to you, right? But sometimes it's not because you've done something wrong, but sometimes I'll just hear certain words from the Lord where it does just come and it just feels like this word is just like exploding, you know, in you as the Lord's speaking to you. And it talks about perseverance in all things in Ephesians 6. It reminds me of Romans 5, 3 through 5, where it says, rejoice in our sufferings, and suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint because of the love of God that's poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit is given to us. So it is about persevering. One thing that I thought about one time in relation to prayer that the Lord I just started speaking to me was, you know, we kind of engage or initiate in prayer in a few different ways. You know, the first one is just very obvious, right? We set aside time to pray. We say we go into our prayer closet, right, or prayer chamber, as the scripture talks about, right? Our bed chamber is really the word that's used there. And we intently sit down to pray. We take a posture of prayer. Maybe you have a certain posture. You lay on your face. Maybe you put a prayer shawl on, right? You intently say, you know, I'm dedicating this time to prayer. And I think we can all relate to that. The second way that I felt like the Holy Spirit was showing me was that thoughts, Right? There would be times in early in my walk with the Lord, there would be times during the day where I just have these random thoughts, right, about people I hadn't thought about in a while. And it wouldn't be till later, and I'd hear something from them maybe a week later and realize, wow, I was thinking about them a week ago, and I didn't do anything with that. And it wasn't a shame thing, but it's just more and more I realize that whenever I have a thought about a situation, a person, something, taking that pause to say, to just speak a blessing over that person, or maybe now I pick up the phone and say, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. How's it going? And then they might share an example of this. Last week, I called a missionary friend of ours, and I called his U.S. cell phone number, thinking he would get it when he's overseas. And he picks up the phone and says, well, you're calling my U.S. cell phone number. Normally, I wouldn't answer this, but I'm in the States because my mom just died. And I hadn't talked to him in months. So, you know, things like that just happen. So being aware that, you know, the first way might be we enter and engage into prayer just the way we normally do. We just sit down and say, this is my prayer time. Other times it's just being aware, like it said in Ephesians 6, of every thought, being aware of every thought, taking every thought captive. It's not of the Lord, but every thought that may be from the Lord of a prompting to pray. It's just those arrow prayers, right? Or maybe making contact with someone if the Lord puts something on your mind. And the third way, we'll give some examples here. Melissa has some great examples, is sometimes you walk out your prayers, right? The Lord puts you in a geographical place at a chronological time, right, for a purpose. Sometimes he may have you open your mouth. Sometimes you know you're just there, and somehow you know it makes a difference that you're light in the darkness. The kingdom of God is within you, so wherever you go, you take the kingdom of God, and you take the light and the glory of God and his presence. So you know sometimes you're just walking it out. Abner mentioned this when he talked about when we met. I'll share more on that example, is that, you know, it was just as divine that we were there that day, you know, when the Lord told him to go to this church in Youngstown. Melissa has a couple examples she's going to share on this of the idea of just the Lord sometimes has you walking out your prayers.
Yeah, I feel
or
like
you're a walking prayer, basically.
Yeah, I'm a walking prayer, that's
yes,
for sure. Is. Everywhere I go, I just feel like I know that there's a reason, and not to over-spiritualize it, but literally that we are that walking prayer. And one example was there was a young lady that came to our church, and we kind of brought her in and began to disciple her. And before she had actually been saved at a meeting that we had, she had stolen some things, and she got really convicted, and she wanted to return them. And she stole them from Walmart, and Walmart wouldn't allow her to go back in the store to return them. So I actually took them back for her in her place. So here I am, even though I'm not praying, I'm standing in her behalf. And I went to Walmart, and I went to go take back the things that she stole. Now, Walmart wouldn't take them back, but that's another story. So then she wanted to go to court, and I said, you know, I don't want you to go alone. I'll just go with you. So all I did was sit in that courtroom. So I'm sitting there again. I'm not necessarily praying or anything, but I'm standing in for her again. And in the end, the judge literally threw out the case. Now, this is the third time she was busted for shoplifting. And there was no reason that she shouldn't have gone to jail for like 2 years. So, but the Lord intervened, and all I was doing was standing there. So, you know, we do that. Another example was when we went to Azusa Now out in L.A. I went with Abner and my daughter and my friend Jess. And this was really incredible. So for those of you that don't know, I'm Jewish. I really want to make what's called Aliyah. And that means to get a dual citizenship in Israel. So I would have a passport for an Israeli passport in the United States. But in 1985, the Knesset ruled that if you're a believer, you're no longer Jewish. So, and there's no way that I can cover that one up. I mean, it's all over my Facebook, and they research you, you know. So there's no way that I would ever be able to make Aliyah. So I know. So Abner and I were in line. He drags me there in line at 4:30 in the morning. to get into the stadium. And I was literally praying. I'm like, God, I need to make Aliyah. You have to make this happen. I can't do it. You just need to do it. So we go into the stadium, and I have a friend of mine. His name is Dr. Z, and he's a prayer warrior. Everybody know Dr. Z? So Dr. Z was there, and he's like, we need to make a prayer walk all around the stadium. I'm like, yeah, we need to do this. So he went off and decided to try to make it on his own, and he got blocked by the, I guess there was backstage security. So he comes back. He's all disappointed. And then, I don't know, about 2 hours later, the Lord says, no, we need to go now. We need to go right now. We need to do this. So I grab my daughter and my friends. There was about 8 of us, maybe. And we go, okay, we're going to go on this prayer walk. And Dr. Z is looking at me going, okay, God told you, so you lead it. I'm like, okay. So I just happened to have this badge because we'd been ministering at a tent. And so I had a badge on me that said I was allowed to pray for people. And for some reason, the Lord told me to put it in my purse that morning. So I had that badge, and the Lord said, take the badge out. So I took the badge out, put it around my neck, and we're off. So I'm like, okay, guys, just follow me. So we get to the first, like, security station, right? And I just pretended like I knew what I was doing, and I just walked right in, right? And this lady stops me and goes, excuse me, are they with you? And I said, yeah. So we just all walked in. We're like, oh, my gosh, that's great. Right? So again, here we are. We're just manifesting. Well, I mean, this was a prayer walk, but we're manifesting what God is calling us to do. And so come to this, there's another security block. And right before then, so this is the backstage security, these two cops come out of nowhere. One comes from one side, one comes from the other, and they're like walking. They're, you know, really fast. So I'm like, okay, come on, guys, just follow me. So I'm like on their tail. I'm like, we walked right into backstage security, and nobody stopped us. Nobody, not one person stopped us, and we don't know where the cops went. Like, they kind of disappeared afterwards. So we're standing in the back, and Bethel's doing worship, right, in this Coliseum. And we're standing there, and the Lord says, and this is, and I'm not sharing this for anything for me, but just to encourage you, the Lord says, you are my gatekeeper. You will go where I call you to go, and you will open doors. Amen. When I tell you, you're going to go in, you're going to open doors, and you're going to close doors, and that's what your job is. And he showed us just by walking around the stadium. We get to the end of this. This is the best part. I think that's good. We get to the end of our walk, and we're all laughing. Can you believe it? Where'd the cops go? You know, we're rejoicing in the fact we made it all the way around, right? This guy walks up to me with this white invitation. It says holy invitation on the outside of it. And he hands it to me, and he goes, the Lord pointed you out to me. I'm to help you make Aliyah. Okay? It was so powerful, right? And so I get home, and I'm contacted with all these people within a couple days. Emails to help me, you know, et cetera, make contacts in Israel. But the best part of it is I get a call out of the blue from this guy, and he says, hi, my name is Eliezer Braun. I'm the assistant to the advisor to Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. And he wants to talk to you. So to make a long story short, we ended up connecting with this man who has now given us, you know, we've had great favor in Israel. We've met with the Ben-Hamin Regional Council there. We've been doing some things trying to start a company to import products from Palestinian occupied territories. You know, all I did was go on a prayer walk. And he puts us in places to change our lives and to lead us and guide us. What? Oh, I'm keeping this one. This is my mic now. Yeah, I have my own mic.
So the other examples I have to share is just through my work. I work for Procter & Gamble. And this is our other daughter, Gianna. Gianna, say hi.
Hey, Gianna.
Gigi.
And really, in going around the world, Europe and Asia, there's always been opportunities to minister. Melissa and I are going to get into a little more of our testimony here about how the Lord, you know, propelled us into missions. So we'll loop back around. But basically, my first time to India, the Lord had me minister in an area.
Glad I didn't know was right next to Pakistan.
Yeah. And the days we were ministering there, there was like no power. The country had some kind of like shut off of power for religious reasons. But we had a generator, and then the company that I was doing work with, it wasn't even Procter & Gamble, gave me a way to connect in through internet, and Melissa was able to basically be there and be part of the service and pray with people and everything.
Through Skype.
It was amazing. There was another time where the Lord had me in Belgium, ended up going to a church, and at the same time, Abner was at our house ministering on Father's Day, and I went to this church, ended up going to the house of the pastor for lunch and his wife, just through a series of circumstances, and Abner happened to know this pastor and his brother. And been trying to get into that church. So here, God has me not just in that church, but in the pastor's home. Amen. And at the same time, Abner's in my house in the United States. So it's just funny. What was the final significance or purpose of that? I mean, it just seems like sometimes the Lord's just saying, I know right where you are. I know your location, you know. And it was actually at a time, it was kind of funny. Being Father's Day, I'm away from my family. And there's a bunch of stuff going on at our house, but, you know, there was an encouraging word to fathers that day who were away from their families, and it was just kind of funny how the Lord was speaking to me even in that moment and saying, you know, where I have you walking, where I have you is right where I need you. There was another time where the Lord had me go to Indonesia. I really didn't make any missions connections or anything, but it just so happened to be I was in Indonesia the week where there was the World Muslim Summit was going on. And the weekend I arrived, there just happened to be an earthquake off the coast of Indonesia.
And I think you were going to experience an earthquake. I like heard
that.
The earthquake before he left.
And so just being there, I just realized the Lord had me there just on a prayer mission. It's like, yeah, you can pray for Indonesia from afar, but I'm just going to put you in the country at the time this is going on. And I'm going to put you in this location. So a lot of times the Lord has you just walking out your prayers, right? And where he takes you, sometimes he'll have you speak something. Sometimes it's a physical act. Sometimes just because you carry the kingdom of God and the favor of God, the people who are around you in that situation are going to experience God's favor because God just puts you there as a walking, living testimony of his goodness and his greatness. And we see that many, many times in Scripture, right, with Israel, with Joseph. It says Joseph was successful. The Egyptian Potiphar saw that he had success. Everything he put in his hands was successful, so he put him over charge over everything because as Joseph came into his house, the favor of God came on his house. It doesn't say that Joseph preached to him. He talked about his God, that he shared about his dreams, that he shared that he wasn't supposed to be a prisoner because he was the son of a wealthy man. It just says that he succeeded and he prospered, and so did his master, right? And so in that time in his life, in that season in his life, Joseph was just walking out his destiny. He was walking out his dream. He was walking out his prayer. He didn't think it was. He thought it was part of the nightmare. But he was walking out his journey on the fulfillment of his dream of saving Egypt and eventually saving his own family. So just be aware. It's just those three ways of there's intentional prayer of going into our prayer closet. There's just the thoughts that come to us. And it talks in the Scripture about always being attuned to the Spirit and the voice of the Spirit. And then there's times where God physically just has you walk stuff out. Maybe you're going to give witness and testimony. Maybe not. Maybe you're just going to shine light. Maybe you're just going to walk in the goodness and the glory of God, and people are going to see the evidence of God's grace on your life. And things will be changed and shifted because you obeyed God. So as far as our prayer journey, I want to share kind of a short version of personal testimony of how God kind of launched us on this journey of prayer and ministry as a family. It was about when I was 30 years old, I experienced some trauma through an auto accident. I actually got hit by a car when I was riding on my bicycle to work. And there was a lot of stuff going on at the time, some really stressful situations at work. Our third child, Nico, he's not here. He was born, and he was sick like the first month of his life, just like a lot of upper respiratory stuff. And then after that, I began to experience a lot of stuff from the trauma of the accident. Upper respiratory is where it started, but then as I kept seeking medical care, it just cascaded into like different types of allergies, food allergies, environmental allergies.
I think he was becoming allergic to me.
No. And so a lot of fear came along with that, right? But as I'll share in a moment here, there was just a lot of other stuff under the surface that the Lord was dealing with. And so through a long journey of going to doctors and looking at natural remedies, when that didn't lead to a diagnosis or a cure, I was introduced to two men who ministered healing, prayer, and deliverance. It was actually through a gentleman at my church who said, I got this guy's phone number, and I think he kind of had what you had. I don't know what they do, but, you know, I'll give you the number anyway. So he didn't really believe, right? But he passed the number along. And so when I went and meet with these men, and I received a miraculous healing and in some areas gradual healing, but I immediately was able to eat foods I hadn't been able to eat before. I gained a lot of weight back that I had lost. I weighed about 120 pounds at the time, and I'm, you know, about 190 pounds now. So... It was a lot of weight loss. And
don't ask me how much I weigh.
Yeah. And after that point in time, I could give many, many testimonies, but we began to see a lot of deliverance in our family, our children, a lot of healing in our marriage as a result of being part of this prayer and deliverance ministry. We also became part of a church through that relationship because these two men that discipled me introduced us to a church. It was an Assemblies of God church where we learned about the gifts of the Spirit. We had attended an Assembly God church in Indiana when I was in college, like 10 years earlier, where I'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but then coming back to Cincinnati, I really didn't foster that because we weren't back in a body that believed that. But we started a journey right then in around 2006 where we started going to this Assemblies of God church and really just getting bombarded with all of it, the conferences, the gifts, just getting revelation from Scripture. And after that point, we had two more children. So Nico was our third, and then we had Gianna and Vitaly to even out the number at five for our fivefold ministry. So, and during that time, I remember praying one specific prayer. I remember, because here I had this issue of not being able to eat everything I wanted to eat and just feeling like I didn't have answers, but I was definitely in the Scriptures looking for what God says about healing. And many of us go through different journeys, right? Some people, when they have sickness or whatever, they just kind of go into a hole and say, woe is me, this must be God's lot for my life. And for some reason, that isn't what I was thinking. I was just in the Word looking for answers and going, God, this is not what your Word says. And I had as many people pray for me that wanted to pray for me. But then after this experience of receiving healing through this deliverance ministry, I remember looking back and praying and saying, I remember asking God, I want a hunger for your word like I want food. I remember Abner saying last night, like you want water, right? You have to want the presence of the Lord and to be in the presence of the Lord like you want water. And so I related to that is that I remember praying that prayer. So God fulfilled that prayer. Like I asked him for a hunger for his word. It's not like you can just work something up. Everything you receive from God is a gift, right? Yeah. Holiness is a gift, right? He says, I'm going to give you my spirit, and my spirit is holy. Now, we still have to walk that out. We still have to be obedient. But I just remember asking for a hunger for God's word. And I know the hunger I have for his word is from him. It's not something I worked up in my own emotions or, you know, I have to gear up to read. It's something, you know, just God-given. And so this kind of, there are many, many testimonies of healing in our family as a result of that, that, you know, for today we won't have time to go into. You can come and ask us and talk to us after. But I want Melissa to share now just kind of where we went after that in our journey of prayer and missions and the Lord kind of leading us into our calling as a family and ministry.